This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. This week, we're ending the year with some of our most entertaining interviews of the recent past.
March, what's my blood type?
A positive.
Oh, nuts. Extremely rare blood, and I don't have it.
You know his blood type? Romantic.
My mother knows everything about her family.
Oh, yeah? What's my shoe size?
4B.
How many teeth do I have?
16 permanent, 8 baby.
How many hairs on my head, without looking?
Oh, homie, you have lots of hair. Why did you want to know your blood type?
Oh, old man Burns is going to kick off if he doesn't get some double O negative blood, but nobody at the plant has it.
Bart does?
Woo! Yes! All right! Woo! Congratulations, boy! You've got a date with the needle!
Hey, wait a minute.
The Simpsons is one of the funniest shows on TV. As Jordan Raphael wrote in the LA Times, The Simpsons not only paved the way for a rich collection of primetime animation shows, it raised the bar for all TV sitcoms. We're going to hear from the creator of The Simpsons, Matt Groening. Groening also created the animated series Futurama and draws the syndicated comic strip Life in Hell. Before he started cartooning, Groening was a music critic. When I spoke with him a year ago, I asked how his vision of the characters had changed since he created the series.
Here's the problem with doing a sitcom which has lasted more than 300 episodes is you're trying not to repeat yourself. You're trying to surprise the audience, and you're trying to keep everybody who works on the show surprised. As a result, the show has gone off in some very peculiar directions. Sometimes I was alarmed. I was going, oh, my God, we can't do this. We can't do this. And then it turns out to be okay. It's funny. It's crazy. And it's the show is so fast-paced. We learned as we went along that we can cram a lot of jokes in there. So if there's a joke you don't like, just wait a fraction of a second, and there'll be another one to come along to replace it.
You said that there were things to which you said, we can't do this. What's an example of that? Because let's face it, The Simpsons does a lot of satire about homosexuality, the church, violence on television.
At the beginning, virtually anything we did would get somebody upset. And now it seems like people who are eager to be offended, and this country is full of people who are eager to be offended, they've given up on our show. So if you're bothered by The Simpsons, by now you know to tune out. And so we don't get that much problem anymore. We do sometimes with advertisers. We got into trouble a few years ago for Homer's watching an anti-drinking commercial, and it said, warning, beer causes rectal cancer. And Homer responds by saying, beer. Fox didn't want us to do that because beer advertisers are a big part of the Fox empire. And it turns out that the writer was able to track down the actual fact. Where some study showed that indeed it does, or did, or has a tendency to. So we were able to keep that in. But they want, that's the kind of thing we put up with.
One of my favorite episodes is where Homer goes to rock and roll fantasy camp. It's kind of like baseball fantasy camp, but instead of being on a fantasy baseball team, you're in a rock and roll band, and you know he's taught how to be a guitar hero. And like Keith Richards and who else was in the...
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger, yeah. Elvis Costello, their voices.
Elvis Costello, Lenny Kravitz, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. You know what's great on this show is because we basically can get pretty much whoever we want to. And for a while we weren't able to get older Hollywood stars, but then their grandchildren started telling them to do the show, so we've gotten some of them too. And that's how we got Ernest Borgnine and Sting. No, no. Kidding about Sting. Sting said his kids liked it. That's why he did the show.
Were you in on the writing of the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp episode?
I think I was I stuck my nose in the door, but the writers definitely deserve credit for the show. The show has so many things that need to be taken care of. The writing is the least of our problems, and so I run around. I work on the editing for a little bit, and sometimes the writing and the designs but not on that particular episode. I don't think I had anything in there.
Tell me more about what your job is now.
I'm the spokesmodel for the show. I do Fresh Air interviews, and No, you know what? What I do is, like I said, I stick my nose in where I think it's needed. Uh-huh. I'm there at the beginning of the process, and I'm there at the end of the process. And it's most fun on Thursday mornings when the actors all get together around a big table on the Fox lot and read and perform the script for the first time. Well, the writers furiously scribble notes and mark little check marks on what gets laughs and what doesn't. And then we rewrite the script. And then 6 months goes by with storyboards and animatics and character designs and re-records and rewrites and all this stuff. And at the very end of the process, there's a final edit and a final sound mix of the show. And it's amazing how many times the show really doesn't come together until that last part of the process, which is the final sound mix, which is one of my favorite parts of the whole thing.
Why do you love that part?
Well, because you can take something that if you watch silently would not get a laugh. And if you, with the right sound effects and the right music and the right pauses, actually you can pull comedy out of something that didn't seem to be there. We had once, a few years ago, we had a vicious fist fight between Homer and Smithers. I know it's hard to believe that Homer and Smithers would fight, but they did. They got into a fist fight and were hitting each other over the head with blunt instruments like telephones and things. And in listening to it back and watching the animation, it wasn't funny. It just didn't get a laugh. It was horrifying. And what we tried all sorts of experiments to try to make it funny, you know, crazier sound effects and this and that. And finally what we did is we pulled out all the sounds of exertion. So when Homer clonks Smithers on the head with a phone, he goes, ugh! And we took that out and we left in the Smithers sound of pain. And for some reason, the sound of pain, the sound of outrage, the sound of injury is funny. And the sound of anger and aggression is creepy and scary. And it's really funny.
You said that, you know, you go over the script and make check marks next to everything that gets a laugh. Who is getting the laugh from? Is it the other writers, or do you do this in front of a test audience?
Well, there are people who come to these table reads who are not writers. Writers all sit around one end of the table and just, you know, are listening, you know, have their heads tilted and see you know, see what gets a laugh from the guests in the room. And there's a lot of people who work on the Fox lot who sneak in and they generally sit along one wall, and we call it the sour wall because they're often sitting there with their arms crossed, disapproving and you know, shaking their heads at certain jokes. But if we can get the sour wall to laugh, then it's a good script.
My guest is Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons. Let's hear a scene from The Simpsons. Krusty the Clown has been invited to The Simpsons' house for dinner.
Krusty, would you do the honors?
Well, all right. I'm a little rusty, but I'll try. Baruch hata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem, min haaretz.
Oh, he's talking funny talk.
No, Dad, that's Hebrew. Krusty must be Jewish.
A Jewish entertainer? Get out of here.
Dad, there are many prominent Jewish entertainers, including Lauren Bacall, Don Shore, William Shatner, and Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks is Jewish?
I want to ask you about some of the characters that didn't exist in the very beginning stages of The Simpsons, starting with Krusty the Clown, who's this really funny character. I mean, he's basically like an old vaudevillian type. He's, you know, really bitter and you know, Jewish, like a lot of comics, and you know, but this is like an old style Jewish comic dash clown. What did you think of Krusty when he was first created?
Well, Krusty was based on a TV show clown who I grew up with in Portland, Oregon, named Rusty Nails. Rusty Nails was a Christian clown. He was he had his own show, and he showed old Three Stooges shorts, and he was great. And he wasn't like Krusty at all. He was very nice guy, and a very sweet clown. But he had that name, Rusty Nails, which I found incredibly disturbing as a child, because, you know, you're supposed to avoid Rusty Nails. So the idea of a clown named Rusty Nails.
You were a sensitive little kid.
Well, you know, clowns are scary to begin with. And even though this was a nice clown, I was slightly perturbed by him. Anyway, so Krusty the Clown. Krusty rhymes with Rusty, and I actually created him as a little on-screen character on the Tracy Ullman show for those little shorts there. And the idea of the design of him is he actually is basically originally Homer in clown garb, and the satirical conceit that I was going for at the time was that the Simpsons was about a kid who had no respect for his father but worshipped a clown who looked exactly like his father. So, but we sort of lost that, and I didn't make Krusty Jewish. That was Jay Kogan and Wally Walidarsky, I think, came up with that idea, two of the old Simpsons writers, and then the rest is, he's one of the richest characters on the show. In fact, this year we have Krusty having his bar mitzvah. Finally, turns out he, and it's a pretty wild show.
My guest is Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons.
Okay, let's talk about Itchy and Scratchy. And this is the recurring cartoon that Bart and Lisa watch on TV. And it's the kind of like super violent version of all the cat and mouse kind of cartoons. How'd you come up with this?
Well, it was from watching cat and mouse cartoons growing up. Pixie and Dixie, the Hanna-Barbera mice, and Tom and Jerry in particular, very, very violent and very, very funny cartoons, MGM cartoons. And the fantasy was seeing, you know, wanting these cartoons to extend their violence even more. And so with Itchy and Scratchy, it's probably as extreme as it can get for a cat and mouse cartoon. And it's been really fun, because it turns out, the way these shows come together, that whatever the theme of that particular episode is of The Simpsons, there's some Itchy and Scratchy cartoon that obliquely relates to it. They're very hard to write now. We've done so many of them that they're harder and harder to write. And originally, of the actors, Harry Shearer, a sophisticated guy, he seemed to laugh the hardest at Itchy and Scratchy during the table reads. I don't know if he's the voice of Itchy or Scratchy, but he's the voice of one of them. He talks like that. Dan Castellaneta is the voice of the other one, the cat or the mouse. I don't know. I sometimes have difficulty remembering which is the cat. And then I go, oh, Scratchy, because he scratches. That's how I figure it out.
So were you in on the writing of the Itchy and Scratchy theme song?
That was obvious. It's by the way, it's not, everybody thinks it's they fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. It's not. It's they fight and bite and fight and fight and bite.
Do you remember the theme for Rough and Ready?
No, I don't. I loved Rough and Ready, another great Hanna-Barbera cartoon, but I don't remember.
Because the bridge was, sometimes they have their little spats. They even fight like dogs and cats, et cetera, et cetera. I was wondering if this was an homage to that at all, but I guess not.
I do have a lot of cartoon themes running through my head. In fact, over the years, I wake up out of a deep sleep with a specific theme running through my head. It's the end of, a local Portland, Oregon kids show, Heck Harper. He was a cowboy, and he used to sing, "Sadly now we bid adieu to all our barnyard friends. Rocky and Bullwinkle and Mr. Magoo, Felix and Popeye, I'll say toodaloo," or something like that. That's as far as I remember. But I wake up to that lots and lots of times. It's really, really...
sad.
A cause for concern.
Well, I think it's time to hear the Itchy and Scratchy theme song. Let's hear it.
The lyrics to that were written by Sam Simon, one of the original producers who developed the show, along with Jim Brooks, and basically set the tone for the show.
Okay, I have to ask you now about Troy McClure. I love the name, just like Troy Donahue and Doug McClure. A kind of like washed-up former handsome actor who's never been in really important movies. Can you talk about the creation of Troy McClure?
Well, Troy McClure was, he's a stand-in for a lot of exactly what you said, washed-up phony baloney Hollywood actors. And Phil Hartman, the great, late, great Phil Hartman, played Troy McClure and Lionel Hutz and a few other characters on the show. And what's great about Phil Hartman was that you could give him any line and he could figure out a way of pulling the maximum amount of humor out of it. And not only that, he was just a great person. It's easy to say that about people who have passed on, but I think everybody on the show would agree that Phil Hartman was always a delight to work with. And because he's gone, we have retired those characters. We don't want to revoice them.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, can I share my favorite Troy McClure moment? And I think this is a lot of people's favorite Troy McClure moments. He is engaged to one of Marge's sisters, and the sister knows that there's some kind of sexual secret that he's keeping from her, and she thinks that the secret is he's gay. But he says, do you want to do the line?
I don't remember.
Oh, he says, gay? I wish. it turns out he has a really weird sexual fetish. That is an example of the type of thing that The Simpsons really gets away with. It's, you know, it's a kid show on the one hand, or at least a lot of kids watch it. A lot of adults watch it, too. But there's this really funny sexual humor on it.
What's the fetish? I don't even remember. Was it
fish? I don't even remember either. I think it's a fish thing. Yeah, it was just some kind of weird thing. But
That's fish. That would make sense.
So, right, exactly. So, I mean, do you ever get any problems coming back at you as a result of humor like that?
Well, you know, stuff that's so far-fetched like that is no, we don't get much problem with that. We deal with various sexual aspects of contemporary culture and what I try to hope that we do is that the stuff that's not appropriate for kids, they don't get. Again, the idea of The Simpsons always has been that it's a show for everybody, that is, for all ages, and not every joke is for every person. In fact, I always said, well, the dumb jokes, the ones that you don't think are funny, those are for the kids. And the sophisticated ones, you know, the references to Dostoevsky and so on, those are for the grown-ups. And so the idea is to basically redefine family entertainment and do stuff for the entire family that you can all stand to sit there and watch. And how much of TV can you say that about? Most TV is so fragmented in the demographic that it's trying to get to that, you know, there's very few things that that I can watch that my kids dig. So, but they do like The Simpsons.
The last time you were on Fresh Air, David Bianculli was guest hosting, our TV critic. And one of the things you said to him was that The Simpsons is about the anxiety and consternation of living with people who drive you out of your mind. How do you live with people you love and you want to kill? Do you still see it that way?
Wow. That sounds really smart.
Doesn't it?
that sounds true. That sounds like... Sounds like you're in a court and you're saying, did you say the following? That's what it's about. I mean, that's at the core. It's about being in a family and families drive you crazy. So nothing changes about that. We can all relate to that, I'm sure.
Matt Groening, so great to talk to you. Thank you very, very much.
Always a pleasure, Terry. Great show.
Matt Groening is the creator of The Simpsons. Our interview was recorded late last year. The fifth season of the series was just released on DVD. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Live from Springfield Penitentiary's fabulous big open area in Cell Block D, it's the Krusty the Clown Prison Special.
Slugged some jerk in Tahoe, they gave me 1 to 3. My high-priced lawyer sprung me on a technicality. I'm just visiting Springfield Prison. I get to sleep at home tonight. Hey, I kid cause I love. I tell you, the best folk in the world are prison folk.
Man, those cons love Krusty. Inside every hardened criminal beats the heart of a 10-year-old boy.